Investors are still bullish on the ride-sharing company Uber, according to the tech news site Recode. Recode is reporting something like a frenzy among investors in the company, despite a week of controversy. That controversy came after Uber senior executive Emil Michael talked about a plan to hire four opposition researchers and journalists to dig up dirt on a reporter who had been critical of the company. There was also news that the company had already accessed personal Uber travel details for another journalist who was working on an article about Uber. Here to tell us just what's going on at Uber is Nellie Bowles, the culture editor for the tech news site Recode. She's now at KQED in San Francisco. Hello, Nellie.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for being on to tell us about exactly what's happening at Uber, especially for those of us who haven't been following it quite so closely. Remind us of what the controversy is all about.
It's been quite a week. So some pretty rough comments were made about digging up dirt on reporters' personal lives at a dinner party in New York, like you said. And there were a bunch of sort of media influencers there. Uber was hosting it in sort of a press push. Ed Norton was there, Arianna Huffington, USA Today columnist Michael Wolff. And he, as luck would have it, brought BuzzFeed's editor Ben Smith, who sat next to an Uber executive who then detailed this plan. And the plan was to hire four reporters, four opposition researchers, and put $1 million into backing this effort to dig up dirt on reporters' personal lives.
So this is
it
like
was pretty
dinner,
detailed.
It's dinner party and talk.
It was dinner party talk.
You think it was serious?
And so I don't know. I don't know. It was serious enough to have a budget and have numbers and have a target, which was the reporter Sarah Lacey. But I don't know if they've actually started any of this.
You've talked to Sarah Lacey, in fact.
I have.
Yeah, what did she tell you?
So I called her the night the report came out. I gave her a call, and she said she was scared. She was in the process of changing her home security. She has since hired a private security guard, which some people are giving her flack about. But she seems genuinely nervous about this. Maybe there's some credibility there because you've got a $20 billion company or a $17 billion company who seems to be very concerned about her and very focused on her.
This woman you're talking about, Sarah Lacey, is the editor-in-chief of Pando Daily. Has she written anything particularly incendiary about Uber?
Yeah. I mean, she's written stories about how they're not great when women have complaints about drivers and things like that. And the CEO, Travis, had said some sort of bro-ish comments about the company. He once called it boober because of all of the ladies he was getting because of how successful the company was doing. So there have been some sort of bro-ish moments, and she's written about that. But she's a sort of odd target. She's not like the most prominent tech reporter in the Valley, and she just runs her own little tech news site, Pando Daily, and it's interesting that they chose her. But what it shows really is a broader anxiety about tech reporters and about the press and just how influential these bloggers are.
But to be so sensitive about what the blogosphere is saying, Uber presumably feels like it has something to lose. Has any kind of criticism really cost it?
It doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, one thing that's interesting about the press issue is, okay, like Airbnb. Airbnb, just a little while ago at their annual retreat this year, Chip Connelly, one of the executives at the company, said that Airbnb should win the Nobel Peace Prize.
What does that mean?
Meaning the company itself should win the Nobel Peace Prize because of what they've achieved. So there's a sense of shock at anything less than total joy at what these companies are doing. Where a lot of the anxiety about press comes from, I think.
Explain that Nobel Peace Prize thing, because this talks about a larger picture of these tech companies and what they're able to accomplish.
Yeah, they see themselves as doing something more than a business. It's sort of there's an idealism, and if you go against that, you're almost like fighting the religion of innovation or something. You're sort of anyone who questions one of these big Silicon Valley behemoths is seen as really undermining something that is beautiful and good and bringing freedom to the people. And that's taking it to an extreme, but that's kind of the vibe. That's sort of some of the anxiety.
Did you feel that yourself when you went to Uber headquarters? you had a very interesting visit there.
Uber headquarters is fascinating. And it's best understood, I guess, in terms of the Lyft headquarters. So Lyft is their biggest competitor. And Uber headquarters is this, like, incredibly sleek and, like, black metal and hardwood and very not fun space. In the center is an opaque glass box that they call the war room, and where you can sleep overnight. And Travis Kalanick, the founder, showed me, you know, where you can sleep and the different components of his war room for, you know, when stuff really hits the fan kind of attitude. The Lyft office, on the other hand, is like full of pink mustaches. The whole entry hallway is decorated in pink pool noodles that the founder had hung up himself. So the Uber office is really remarkably built for fighting and for war and for this kind of thing.
Well, to what extent are they fighting back right now? Because there is all this criticism, and Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal and an investor in a major Uber competitor. In fact, it's Lyft, the one that you talked about, has called Uber the most ethically challenged company in Silicon Valley. That must sting. What is Uber saying in response to all of this?
Not a whole lot. Travis Kalanick went on a, quote, tweet storm about it. But really, the response has been like, well, mistakes were made, but like we're going to keep on keeping on. And Uber is basically at this point, I mean, they're just printing money. They're making so much money that their investors are very committed to them. And I think a lot of the different voices online, the criticism is coming from Lyft investors, and then the people defending Uber are Uber investors. And it's kind of I think it's going to be a while before any Uber investors turn against the company.
How about customers?
I think that, too. You know, this is what Sarah Lacey made a big call for, people to delete their apps. And I just don't see it necessarily taking off. And I think part of it is like Facebook and Google in the early days also had huge problems with employees accessing user data and user accounts. In Facebook's early days, they had a super user password that you could go and you could scout out what your ex-girlfriend was doing. And since then, the companies have matured and they've grown up and they've put in boundaries so that this doesn't happen.
Almost become.
And I think we'll see Uber do that too.
Enter sense of adulthood in some ways. Anyway, thank you. Nellie Bowles, culture editor for the tech news site Recode from San Francisco. You're listening to Here and Now.